In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you love me, you will keep my word. But what if I don't keep your word? If I don't keep your word, does that mean that I don't love you? Such is the voice of a common struggle for Christians. We think, at least we thought we had faith, we think that we love Jesus, but how can I be sure? I'm sad to say that far too many Christian denominations have a woefully inadequate answer to this question today. They will point you back to yourself, your own life of faith, as the answer to that question of whether you have faith and love Jesus. But our Lord Jesus Christ gives us a far better answer to this question in the first verse of our gospel text. And through careful exegesis, we can come to learn and understand that Christ's answer to this question of how can I be sure that I love him and have faith in him, Christ's answer is a comforting one. The exact words of our Lord in the first verse of the gospel text for today are this: if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, from a grammar and logic standpoint, this is nothing more than a simple conditional statement, an if-then. If anyone loves me, then he will keep my word. However, because these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is more than a simple conditional. We need to keep in mind that when our Lord speaks, it is fundamentally different than when regular people like you and I speak. And so we should not compare our Lord's words here to the words of a mother to her child who might say, if you love me, you will clean your room. We all know far too well that there is uncertainty in the outcome of that. But not with Christ. For when our Lord speaks, things happen. There is no uncertainty in our Lord's voice. And since our Lord is the speaker, we should not doubt the outcome. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Also critical to understanding this verse is understanding the force of the word will. He will keep my word. This is not an imperative. It's not a command, as if our Lord were saying, if anyone loves me, he must keep my word. No, it's a simple future tense verb, a prediction, you may say, a statement of what will be true at some point in the future. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. How can this be, you might ask? How can it be that I, a poor, miserable sinner, I, who surely deserve nothing but punishment, how can it be that I will keep Christ's word? I mean, I love you, Jesus. I hear your word as often as I can, but the very fact that I constantly have to confess my sins reveals the fact that I am not keeping your word. My life is the Romans 7 struggle. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that is what I do. This is our lives, if we're being honest. And so this struggle, this perceived inconsistency, leads back to that question, do I really love Christ? But Christ's words are not meant to lead us to despair and hopelessness. For that would contradict what our Lord says in the middle of the gospel text for today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. Our Lord's purpose in speaking the words of today's gospel text is not to drive you to hopelessness and despair. And if we ended our reading with just this brief phrase, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word," then we would rightly be driven to despair. But that's not where our Lord ends. So if we stop hearing at this point, we have failed to hear the fullness of our Lord's teaching. Here's the full statement from verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make a home with him." See, what appeared at first to be a simple conditional statement, a simple if-then, is not quite as simple as we thought. This isn't an if-then statement. It is an if-then-then-then-then statement. For there are four outcomes that will happen based on the condition of loving Christ. And of those four outcomes, quite significantly, only one involves you as the actor. The other three involve God as the actor. This teaches us that if we love Christ, there will be a response from God. And the very fact that his response is described in this threefold manner tells us that that response of God is much more significant than your response that is listed in a single statement. So not only if you love Christ, will you keep his word? But also, if you love Christ, the Father will love you. This is true because our Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is the image of the invisible God. Therefore, to love Christ is to love the Father. And so if you love Christ, the Father will reciprocate your love, but not in such a way that he merely returns what you give to him. He will reciprocate your love in a manifold increase of grace. He will return a love to you greater than you could have possibly asked for. How is this possible? How does the Lord return such a love to us that we cannot possibly understand or deserve? Our Lord tells us, "If anyone loves me, we will come to him." Notice that pronoun, we. We will come to him. See, to love Christ is not only to be loved by the Father. To love Christ is also to receive the love of the Blessed Trinity. If you love Christ, then the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will come to you. Though you are a poor, miserable sinner and do not deserve his love, he still promises to come to you. What amazing and undeserved grace. The eternal God of the universe responds to our love. In many ways, this is not something that we can understand. And an adequate human analogy might be as if we compare ourselves to an adolescent girl who gets so giddy and excited at just a little bit of attention from her crush. Or like someone who finally has the opportunity to meet and converse with a lifelong idol. And yet these are but a small and inadequate picture of what it is for the God of the universe, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to love us. We have it far better than any earthly example could possibly communicate to us. For the God of the universe gives us much more than attention. He comes to us, just as he has come to us in the person of Christ to walk this earth, to bear our sins unto the cross, and to rise again on the third day. So too does the Lord come to us, and as our Lord says, we will come and make a home with him. This is far greater than momentary attention or a one-off conversation. because of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection for you, the triune God has chosen to make a home with you. You are now a temple of the Holy Spirit, such that the same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells in you. This, my friends, is why we celebrate Pentecost. This is why this day is a feast day second only to Easter and maybe, maybe Christmas in terms of its importance in the Christian life. Because Pentecost is the penultimate fulfillment of God's plan of redemption for humanity. We only have one thing left to wait for, and that is the return of Christ to make all things new on the last day. At Christmas, Christ came as God with us so that he might go to the cross and bear our sins. But at Pentecost, now the Holy Spirit comes as God in us. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. How can this be, you ask? You have the Holy Spirit. God has made a home within you. Your love for Christ now works together with his love for you so that you are enabled to live faithfully according to his word. And one final note about our Lord's statement. He speaks of not keeping his commandment as if to say, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandment. No, the word is word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. For Christ's word is far more, far greater than mere commands. What he is inviting us into is much more than simple works according to the law and the commandments of God. For the chief work of God, according to John chapter 6, is that you believe in him whom he sent. To keep Christ's word is not mere external obedience. To keep Christ's word is to keep in the faith. And this is the role of the Holy Spirit, to keep you in the faith so that you may believe and that you may begin to display the fruits of faith. And these fruits of faith will amount to a growth in adherence to God's will and commandments and law over time. But that's not what we hang our hat on. That is not where we look to answer the question, do I really love Christ? Do I really have faith? Maintaining love for Christ, keeping the faith, and keeping his word is not a burden that is placed on you alone. Because this is both the promise and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.